Everybody, welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
And I'm Ash Riot.
We are the Hologram Band, and this is our show.
It's our show.
It's our show. It's our show. It's our show. We have a really cool topic because this is what we're all about. We like to think we're all about. This is our biggest message in our lives and in our work and in our music and... What is it, Ash? What's our message?
L-O-V-E.
L-O-V-E, the power of love. This is the title of this show, The Power of Love. We welcome you to call in and share your thoughts and ideas and experiences about and around love and how love relates to you and how important love is to you in this existence, this lifetime, this reality. And we're going to start the show actually with one of our songs. Do you want to introduce
it? It's about love, and it's about unity and bringing everybody back together instead of so separate and so disconnected. And so we would like to say, Dawn, roll the music.
Please.
Please.
We love you.
We love you.
Universe encompasses me, beneath the stars above the sea, enthralled on earth watching you, knowing I have a part in this too. Faithlessly watching, wait for dim eyes, severing my old earthly disguise, enthralled on earth watching you, knowing we have a part in this too. This is a world of illusion, so I honor all delusion. Be not baffled with exclusion, bring all love in for the fusion. Watch the wind blow power out, stronger than what we were on. To me, the forgotten thieves pressed upon these autumn leaves. Angelic hosts be known to us, falling faster than we trust. Watch the circles born of light, speaking while we're all up all night. It serves us, yet we must come back to love.
Love
the love revolution is within
revolution.
Each and every one of us.
This
a knowing, a higher
a
understanding.
Revolution.
We all embrace it. All we have to do
is
accept
love
the love fusion and say yes.
This is a
That was Hologram's The Fusion. And if you're interested in purchasing the song for 99 whole cents,
please purchase it.
You can go onto iTunes, and it's one of our six singles that are out so far, The Fusion. The reason why we've chosen that song to play for this show is because it is basically our love song, right?
Definitely.
I just want to address the lyric. This is a world of illusion, and so I honor all delusion. Be not vapid with exclusion. Bring all love in for the fusion. And what that lyric means is love is something that is meant to be shared. We can obviously, maybe not so obviously, but we really should obviously have self-love. And that is really, really important for us to start with self and honoring self and acknowledging that we are miracles and appreciating the miracle that we are. And yet that has to expand and go beyond from self-love to loving others, all things, connection, right? To be aware of not excluding, but bringing all love for the fusing together of all beings, creatures.
Well, for comical relief, I thought you just said fusion wrong. It's fusing. I was like, I think she said it wrong.
No, I said fusing. Fusing all of us together.
Well, what you told me that really rang true to me is, remember when you told me before, and I think you said this in a speech before too, that you like to make brotherly love more romantic and romantic love more brotherly. And I think that that's awesome, because too often we're always like directing love in one direction and telling love what to be. And, you know, if you spread it, I mean, you know, don't just keep it to one way. Don't keep it to one avenue, which too often people do. They're like, oh, I can love my family and I can love, you know, my partner or something. But, you know, you can love Pearl in the shopping market.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to know her well first, though.
No, you don't.
I'm kidding.
You can just, like, walk up to her and be like, hello. Like, look at the lady outside of our house this morning.
Your neighbor.
Yeah.
Jessica.
Yeah. We woke up this morning, and there is Jessica raking leaves, and she raked up all our leaves for us and put them in bags. That's love.
That's real love. That was just out of the kindness of her heart, showing love because she appreciates the family. So she wanted to show appreciation. That's love in action, right?
Exactly.
That's love in action.
You're able to send that out.
So before you go on, I can't take credit for make your romantic love more brotherly and your brotherly love more romantic. That was Marianne Williamson, and that comes from the Course in Miracles. And so I don't know if any of you have done the Course of Miracles. I had a chance to start doing a little bit of it. It's quite extensive. For those of you who have done it, you know how extensive it is. But it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful philosophy. And if we can sort of maybe take a look at how we view love. One thing I've noticed, I say love a lot. Ash says love a lot. And we don't say it loosely. We're not saying it because it's the right thing to say, like a hello. It's said very much with heart mm-hmm. and with sincerity. And the reason why I've chosen to say love a lot to people is because, first of all, I think it's the best way for all of us to kind of coexist, and it automatically brings peace and harmony, but also because it kind of breaks the barrier. And I think a lot of people are really hung up on, I can only say I love you to my family or to my lover or to my, you know, mm-hmm. to my best friend or to my cat or to my dog, but how can I possibly say I love you to a stranger? And so what I really sincerely feel is part of, you know, changing this planet and the worldview and just getting back to peace on this planet is that we have to recognize it's really okay to say love to a stranger, Pearl at the grocery store, like mm-hmm. you're saying, if yeah. somebody, a checkout person. I mean, I'm not saying, if you're not comfortable, you're not going to go around going, I love you, Pearl. You know, you're going to get some really weird mixed reactions. But you know what? That's part of it.
Well, it is everybody. It's like, you know, you go around loving everyone, they call you hippies.
Hey, hippies are cool.
I know.
I'm quite happy to be thought of as a hippie. I think hippies are cool.
I think you are kind of a hippie.
I'm a gothic hippie.
She really is.
I'm a punk hippie.
She really is. She's a punk hippie, I think. She's a punk gothic hippie. Can I please have some of that San Pellegrino? Thank
you. I'm hogging the sparkling water over here. I want to mention this, too, because I have been married a few times, for those of you who don't know that. And one thing I noticed with a particular set of in-laws, love them, love them, love them. But as soon as my relationship with their son ended, I noticed that my cards, my Christmas cards and anything, you know, birthday cards, whatnot, that were sent to me subsequently changed from love to best wishes. And I thought that was really odd. In fact, I even wrote a poem about it, and I don't even have it with me, but I wrote a poem about it, and it kind of was a bit of a rant poem, because it was questioning why, if our relationship changes, why does the love have to change? And that brings me to a Vincent van Gogh quote. I love Vincent van Gogh, and he's one of my heroes, and I'm really sad that he took his own life. He felt that he donated so much to his art and to his life that he lost his mind in the process. But the quote that I thought was pertinent to this show was his quote made about love, and this is it. Love is something eternal. The aspect may change, but not the essence.
Wow.
And that's exactly what I'm speaking of here, mm-hmm. because I can have a relationship, even a marriage, and the marriage itself can end. Mm-hmm. But the love, the thread of love that brought us together in the first place and kept us together for as long as we were, is what I'm hoping and trusting is the eternal. And if the essence of the relationship if the aspect of the relationship has changed, the essence of love doesn't have to, but we kind of think that love is something that we give almost as a, I don't know, I want to say consolation prize in a way, but that's not really what I'm going for. Something that we give as, well, okay, you get my love, but you don't.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, it is. I mean, even what you're saying about, like, the Christmas card changing and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, how can, like, was the love really that authentic? If it can change that quickly and just go from, okay, you know, I love you, you're a part of the family, to all of a sudden just not being there. And I think that people need to take a look at that and go, okay, you know, I think people should question themselves earlier. They should go, okay, how do I feel about this person? Am I giving them authentic love or inauthentic love? Because, I mean, you can, like, you really can give love that is not authentic. It truly is. I mean, because it could be totally just fabricated. It could be absolutely shallow. But you're giving it just for the sake of saving face or something. And that's not really going to do any good because, I mean, in the end, Christmas card speaks volumes.
Well, I also cut them some slack because this is what I think. And I'm going to say this again about people's perceptions of love. Right? I can give you love, but I can't give you love, right? Mm-hmm. I think that where they were coming from is that because they saw that my relationship with their son had ended, that they had to retract my love because they're assuming he's retracting his. And yeah. I think sometimes it's about support. They think that it's sort of a really odd way of supporting
yeah,
their son.
Absolutely.
And what I'm getting at is if we can kind of transcend that and recognize that relationships can and do often change. But if we recognize that the love that brought the relationships together, and I'm not just talking about, you know, love relationships or marriages, I'm also talking about friendships, because I've had friendships with people and felt very, you know, deep threads of love. And then the friendship shifts because we go kind of our separate ways. You know, sometimes life gets busy and you don't talk to your friend as often. And friendships are like any relationship. They take work and you have to be committed to investing time and energy in a friendship. And if you don't invest time and energy in a friendship, then it just naturally kind of, you know, falls, oh, I don't know, it just falls away. It doesn't mean it falls apart. I think it falls away.
Well, it does. I mean, think about it. Like, people remark about us and how close we are as a friend, as like, we have a great friendship.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, And people have kind of almost wanted to take that. Remember how we've talked about that before? Yeah. Like, try and just even get between us, because, I mean, we're in a band together, we're best friends. But, I mean, you think about it, and even though we haven't known each other that long, we put in a lot of time building our friendship.
Yeah, a lot of time and energy and love. And love is intimacy, and we're not talking... People think intimacy is naturally sexual intimacy, and true intimacy is not sexual. True intimacy has to do with emotional and mental connection. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, for some people, the sexual will become a part of it, but love in its purest state isn't about sex. Love is about love. Love is in and of itself.
It's care and respect.
Well, honor, mm-hmm. care, respect.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes, too, you're talking about the media, Ash. You want to talk about what you wanted to say?
You know what's weird? I'm animated and tired. What's really weird, I was thinking about the other day, I was like lying there and I don't know what was on. I think Jackass was on TV and it has totally nothing to do with what I'm saying. I'm just rambling. But anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about the media and love and its kind of spin on the way things are. And it seems like it's always one way. It's like even in a TV show or a movie or a song, it's always like, oh, we're meeting and it's so awesome. It's so great to have met you. Oh, we're really deeply in love. And then it's like one of the people are snatched from each other. And then, or, you know, one person really does something wrong to another or whatever. There's usually like a snap in the connection, in the cord. And then you know what's going to happen. They're going to get back together. Mm-hmm. They're going to be,
They have to suffer.
First, suffering.
They suffer, suffer, suffer.
Suffer, suffer, suffer. Why must we suffer for love?
Oh.
It's the same as, like, being a musician. It's like people think that you really have to suffer to create good art. And it's the same kind of thing with love. You don't have to suffer to have good love, because love doesn't have to come from one place. It doesn't have to be one conduit. I mean, there's a million pipes in the sewer system of love. That's the greatest thing I've ever said. Oh, my God. Wow.
As you can tell, none of this is scripted.
Wow, was so funny.
I think you should use that for a song title or maybe even a lyric. That's pretty cool.
Wow, there's a million pipes in the sewer system of love. So do you see what I'm saying, though? I mean, we're focusing on one pipe and getting all our love from that one pipe. But there are so many more that we could be getting the love from.
I wanted to bring back the idea of love as, coming from one place. You're talking about the pipes, right? I like how you put sewer in that, too, you know. Sort of like love and sewers,
yeah,
you know.
I could have just said water system.
There
you
go. What a juxtaposition. Love and sewers. One thing.
I guess. Stop.
She can't stop laughing now. She's cracking herself up. I had the opportunity of getting into a recovery house, and I've been clean and sober now for almost 14 years. And my life got so dark, so dismal, and so down in the dumps and the trenches that I couldn't really manage my life. So I ended up in a recovery house, and that was one of the biggest gifts I've ever been given, because I got a chance to sit around the room with two counselors and nine other women and just talk about everything. You know, everything was out on the table. And one thing we actually did talk a lot about was love, because there was a lot of expectation that each of us had with love. And some of us were really hurt. One of the things, just so you know, if you ever see an addict or a junkie, please just send love to them, because it's not who they are. It's an actual disease, and it's basically a coping mechanism. And I know it's not a healthy coping mechanism, but it is a coping mechanism. And if you see it as such, instead of judging it as a weakness, you might change your mind about how to treat someone who's in the throes of addiction, because, you know, really, they're beautiful people, and a lot of times when you see people clean up, you'd never know they were the same person. So send love. But getting back to my experience with love in the circle of counselors and chatting with other women about it, I remember we all had expectations as to where love should come from. For example, if I had a problem and it was a deep problem, I thought that my mother should be there, my father should be there if I had one. I'm just speaking for everybody. I don't have a father. My brother, my sister, my cousin, my husband, my best friend. But oftentimes, the people that you expect to be there in your lowest times aren't. And instead of just focusing on who's actually there, and many times you'll be surprised who's actually there, instead of focusing on who's there, we sometimes focus on who's not there and think we don't have enough love. We think mm-hmm. that we lack love. But pay attention to where the love is coming from, because I honestly believe this for each and every one of us on this entire planet, that there is enough love. And if you feel that you don't have enough love, it's because you're not looking where it's coming from. You're too Exactly. focused on where it's not coming from. So I found, even in my own journey, that the love that I received came a lot of times, believe it or not, from people who were virtual strangers. And the people who were virtual strangers, the love that they had for me and the care and concern and compassion and empathy that they had for me was what carried me to wellness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that. Well, I mean, exactly what you were just saying. I mean, back to my sewer. I mean, it's exactly that. I mean, you know, the pipes that barely just drip, sometimes they just give. And then so much love, you know. I mean, that's happened to me before, too. I mean, even, like, I'm going to go back to being in school and stuff. And I would just, you know, I pick up energies. We all pick up energies. But so often we're quick to judge the first one. And sometimes, which I always go with my instinct. I always go with my gut. But sometimes I've been even, like, I guess not expecting love from the places that I received it. Like, I mean, even certain teachers that I had that really inspired me, like were classes that I really didn't like or something, you know, and I'm like, oh, this is just horrible. And you're really not expecting anything. And then you really get inspired. It's almost like love is like really willing to be able to kind of sway in different directions, because it's not always practical. You know, or what we're practically thinking has to be. That's for me, like what you were saying, especially about like the people who helped you weren't, you know, the most likely. I really, really do believe that. 'Cause I mean, if you really keep yourself narrow viewed, you're going to be missing a lot of love, and you're also going to be missing out on giving a lot of love. Because I mean, especially like addicts, like, I mean, so many people, it's just, they're so quick to judge them. And it's, even if you're not judging them, you want to stay away from them. That's the kind of the mindset, like, oh my God, that's too complicated, or, you know, that's just going to be a big mess. But I mean, a lot of times, like, even just like the simplest of things, or just even sending the energy helps so much, just sending the love. That's big. And I just noticed on the screen that there's a new call-in number. So I want to give that out. It's 888-628-6008. Please call in, because we want to hear about the love that you share and that you give and your view on what we're saying. I repeat, please call in. Thank you.
She repeats it. And I just wanted to go back to the lyric, this is a world of illusion, and so I honor all delusion. And I wanted to, the reason why I bring that up is we do live in a world of illusion. I mean, even Shakespeare said all the world is a stage and all the men and women merely players. And metaphysical examinations are also showing that to be true, that what we see isn't even truly solid. I mean, we can go on and on, but if we kind of, even how we feel about certain situations can be an illusion. You know, someone may look at us the wrong way and suddenly we think, oh, they don't like us, or what, you know, we might even get antagonistic towards it because we feel threatened. So we might automatically want to push someone away. But if everything is indeed an illusion, but it serves us, that's what I meant by so I honor all delusion, because it serves us for the experience of being here. Mm-hmm. And if we, I wrote this on my Twitter and my Facebook today. I put, this came to me and I thought, oh, I'm going to share it because it has to do with the show tonight. Love is the answer. And just so you know, I got that from a Doors song. So
we love the Doors.
We love the Doors.
If you don't know that.
Love is the answer. What should I live for is the question. That last part came to me. Love is the answer. What should I live for is the question. So if we were to make our lives that simple, you know, if we were just to focus on love in all aspects of our life, just imagine how it would transform this entire planet.
I would like to call upon the Doors again. Jim Morrison is very talented.
Well, so are all the other guys. Yes, fantastic musicians. I would like to say. But if you're talking about the lyrics.
The lyrics for Jim Morrison's, the fabulously handsome and smart man. He definitely really hit the nail on the head with Break On Through to the Other Side. Because, you know, he was, like, to me that song, I mean, even the first lyrics, where they, something divides the day, you know, the day becomes the night, night divides the day.
Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side.
And it's like, to me, that's really finding a unity and a relation between two points. And, you know, instead of always seeing things as black and white, I mean, I think one of the greatest aspects of love is its ability to be colorless, and I mean shadeless. Like, I mean, it's just gray. Like, love is gray area, and that's what it should be. It shouldn't always be, okay, I can love you, I can't love you, I can love you, I can't love you. Oh, you know, you, for instance, were an addict, can't love you, that's too complicated, can't do whatever.
Or you hurt me, or, so yeah, I'm not going to love you anymore. I'm going to stop loving you.
Exactly, or you repeatedly stabbed me in the back, so I'm not going to love you anymore.
Well, that's a hard one. I mean, we can still love from afar, but we're not going to be foolish and press that person
again. No. I mean, we can send them love. We can still, you know, think of them with love. We can still... It's not that we're sending hate in their direction or anything.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
No, yeah. Not hate for hate.
Exactly. It's like, I really don't believe in an eye for an eye. I really don't. I think that in some cases, it's good to learn lessons and, you know, to assist people even into waking up and screaming wake up at a big audience. But it's, you know, it's it really truly is. I like that love... is borderless. I really like that. Like, that's how I view it, and that's how I think it should be. Because really, when you think about it, can you really give enough love?
No.
No. You really can't give enough love.
No. And it's endless.
Exactly. It's endless. Yeah. So if you, you know, or think, oh, I gave to a charity last month, you know, or I helped this person up off the ground because they fell or something, you know what I mean? It has to be a constant action. And I think that's the only way love can really evolve, is when we finally realize that it's not, it's not bound.
There's more to be gained by giving love than there is to be by receiving it. I really believe that. Mm-hmm. That the more we give, actually the better we feel.
Yeah.
It's not so much about give me love, give me love, give me love. It's really more about I want to give love and how we feel when we give it. And, I mean, receiving it is just a natural progression of giving it. Mm-hmm. It's, people feel it. You were talking earlier about love having some kind of an agenda. And I think, you know, for example, if you say I love you to someone because you want something that has nothing to do with the essence and the true form of what love means.
This is the surface.
It's... we need to also recognize the, in all things, not just love, but the intention behind it. Mm-hmm. So if I say I love you to someone, what is my intention? Is it to make them feel good, to make them feel cared for? Is it for me to feel good? Is it for the purpose of getting a diamond ring or a fur coat or a new car? I mean,
anti-fur. We're anti-fur. All of us are anti-fur.
You know what I mean, though. It's just, it's all about our intention. And one thing I do believe, too, is for people who have been really scarred by a lot of pain, if you've been abused in your life, whether it's physically or emotionally or sexually, sometimes when, you know, especially with people who are people that you think you could have trusted, especially as children, there's times when you kind of get the whole idea of love, it's a little bit askew, and you have to come back to recognizing that certain acts, even if they were people that you thought would be loving you, certain acts are not loving. And I think that, again, it requires some therapy and some help and some guidance. But we can truly, even coming through those kind of situations, we can truly return to love, just like Marianne Williamson's book, Return to Love. That's a beautiful book, by the way.
It is.
Do you know it?
No.
It is. I do know it. So.
Remember the blog where you said a quote and I was like, yeah, uh-huh. Right? I didn't know.
Ash just agrees with everything. She's kind of, she goes, oh yeah, that was great. And she's going, what was that again? What was that book? What was that quote? Oh, I never heard that before.
And then she'll ask me later on, huh? Anyway, I would like to also say that love, it's also, like, to give love is, okay, how am I supposed to say? Okay, so love is an expression, and sometimes it feels like for oneself, and it's not a selfish way, that it just builds up and you have to express it. So, even if it's for a friend or something, and you just, like, they've done a lot for you, and you're really just thinking, like, wow, like, I wish there was something I could do for them, or, you know, I'm going to explode if I don't just share this love. And it doesn't mean that it's selfish love, that just to keep expressing and expressing, because you're giving. And that's what I want to say about, even the... just the actions of love and stuff. And you know how it's like, okay, I'm not going to say this because I want this, or I'm not going to share I love you because I want your car, or say I love you because I want your car. But sometimes things come back to you just by being, like, you know that whole secret concept?
Secret?
you know, what's it called? That thing where you do, it's where you give and then it comes back to you. Or no, you think about something that you're manifesting.
Oh, the manifestation.
Yeah.
The law of attraction is what you're talking about.
Yes,
correct?
I am.
Okay.
And it's the same thing. It's the same thing, almost as expressing love, because if you're expressing the love and you're really manifesting that and thinking really, really great about, you know, either one person or something one person does, I mean, or you're expressing that to them, I think because you truly feel it in your gut that you're truly appreciating somebody else's love, that it's going to come back to you. Like, appreciating love and just really staying in that, it really will bring it back to you. And it's not because you're doing it selfishly because you want it back. But it just builds up, and you need to express this love.
What about, there's also this sense of if someone has love. So let's just go to love relationships, and maybe someone's single, and they see their friend is madly in love, and there's a sense of wanting, a sense of lack around that, because there's no romantic partner in their life. And so then it might become a little bit of a resentment even, maybe, or, you know, even though you don't want to feel that way towards your friend, there might be sort of an underlying, like, what about me, or how come I don't have that? So in that regard, I really do feel if you turn it around and just love that they love and appreciate the love and honor the love that you're seeing, that just naturally will attract the same to you. Is that what you're kind of saying here?
Well, I have odd ways of explaining things, but I hope you all are following me. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. That, I mean, it's kind of like that concept, like the law of attraction concept. It's not that you're, you know, even, it's not selfish or anything. You're just truly appreciating the type of love. And it doesn't even have to be in a genre. Like, okay, this is relationship, this is whatever. It's just that, you know, somebody that you know is really getting love in a certain way. And back to the sewer. Go to another pipe.
You're so confusing. I'm sorry, but I don't know about anybody who's listening to us, but I'm confused.
Go, your turn. I think they find me charming. It's your turn now.
Charming and confusing.
Yeah.
You know, the Greeks had many words for love, and this is where I think the English language kind of loses out a little bit, because we have one word to describe all sorts of different types of love for different types of situations and people and relationships. And, you know, the Greeks have eros for the romantic sexual love, and they have agape for the brotherly love, and we just have love. And I think this is where we get kind of hung up on it a bit, you know, in terms of using the word. I like to say or believe that when I use the word love, people understand that it just comes from the essence that Van Gogh talked about, you know, the essence of love. It comes from the same essence, whether I say it to a friend, to a lover, to a son, to a mother.
So many friends mistake that sometimes, though. You know, when you're just like, I love you, and they're like, huh.
<Uh-oh>.
They're, you know? And they're like, you do? Oh, that's awesome. And then you're like, no, I meant it in the essence. You can't just say that to them, right? Like,
sometimes I meant it in the essence.
Yeah, you know?
Funny. And then the charm is coming out yet again.
They'll be like, what? You know? No, it's not Eris. It's agape.
Yeah, there you go. You know? That's where I love you in the agape way. And they go, what? What's agape?
Yeah. See? I'm not that confusing. It's all good.
I think we just have to kind of transform our ideas of what love is. Instead of getting hung up on it, meaning one particular thing, just recognize that it's all encompassing and it is a state of being. And it's, I believe it's the true state of who we are and who we're meant to be. What are you chuckling at
your
now?
Your horse game. Just send you a thing about your horse being full of energy.
I like my horse game.
She loves it. We're talking about love. She loves her horse game.
I love it.
It's a good game. Horse See? For
I
iPhone.
Love my horse game and I can love my friend Ash.
Yeah, she does. She loves me and I love Yahtzee. I love Bejeweled. What else is there? And you know what? I'd like to bring that into the fold here.
Bejeweled?
No! You have Bejeweled? Yeah. I'm going to go on a rant about how Bejeweled is love now. No, but like, just the different things. I mean, even objects or actions or, you know, possessions, it's okay to love them. I mean, think about think about music, or think about just being a musician or a music teacher or a singer or whatever. I mean, that is another pipe in the sewer system. Like, I mean, you think about it and you don't always have to get love from somewhere. You can create it yourself.
Well, definitely. And that comes from first loving yourself.
Exactly.
And what I would say to those of you who struggle with self-love, and a lot of people say that they don't, but the truth is that they do.
Oh, yeah.
Including me. One of the best gifts that I ever got was from a woman of wisdom. I was writing in a daily journal and basically just kind of seeing how I feel, doing some feeling checks, going what's going on in my life, sort of keeping track of my emotions on a daily basis. And she suggested that I write, "I love you, Cheryl," at the end of each journal entry. And I remember my first thought to her was, "What? I can't write that because I don't feel it." And she said to me, she said, trust me, Cheryl, just write it every time you do a journal entry. And eventually you will actually get a sense of it becoming truth. So she suggested that I act as if. So I acted as if for a while, and I wrote, "I love you, Cheryl." And when I first did it, I literally cringed because everything in me was going, "Oh, no, you don't. You're such a bad person," whatever my head thoughts were. But eventually, she was right. After I just tenaciously did this each time, each day I wrote, I came to believe and understand and feel and know that I truly did love myself. And it was such a beautiful, beautiful gift. And I would just suggest that those of you who struggle with self-love, whether you write it in a journal every day or look at yourself in the mirror as you're getting ready in the morning for work and just look at your eyes and say, "I love you." And just do it repeatedly and get to a place of self-love, because without self-love, it's pretty much impossible for us to give love to others.
Yeah, it is. It's true. I mean, you really have to you really have to honor yourself, I think. I think honor is a really good word for love. Because, I mean, if you don't honor yourself, how can you really honor somebody else? I mean, I know what you're saying about, like, loving, you know, yourself, and then you're able to love somebody else. But it's also about honor and respecting yourself. Because, like you were saying earlier, you can't have love without respect. And I don't think you can really have respect without love either, because especially if you're loving yourself, you're loving yourself enough to respect yourself.
And that's part of what was my recovery journey, is getting to a place of self-respect, that I didn't want to cause myself harm anymore, that I wanted to live a life that I was proud of, you know, that I wanted to honor my dreams. And, and one of the biggest dreams I had was getting back to music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was always, you know, things I took away from myself because of my choices. But I brought back to myself.
Well, I mean, it's a constant flow. I mean, look at even today, just sitting up here and just doing it, just making the music. I mean, that's a form of love in itself, just to be inspired about something.
Well, it was beautiful because we were working on a song all day. We've been recording and playing and singing and doing tracks and everything. And it's been fantastic because we love what we do, and we love music, and it's catchy, you know, when you're doing what you love.
Mm-hmm.
People are affected. They can feel it.
And when you're affected by it too, I mean, that's even, you're putting your excitement back into it. Like, I'm not going to stop singing this song. I'm never going to stop singing it.
Well, not for a while, because whenever you work on a song, you just can't get it out of your head. It earworms you, right? And, yep. And over and over, it's in your head. But we're really excited about this one. We're excited about, you know, all our songs. But each one, when you're creating it, it becomes your baby, and it becomes the best song you ever wrote in your life, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we have a caller. We have Kevin from BC on line 3. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, it's me.
Hello, you.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Hi.
I finally made sure that I remembered when your radio show was on so I could listen to it.
Thank you for that.
Great
for listening. Thank you. And so, what do you have anything to share about the power of love, Kevin?
Well, actually, you made me think, because, I mean, I had to ask myself questions like that. Can I look in the mirror and say, I love you? And you told me that in the past, and I tried it, and I felt really awkward. It's really hard to do. So I'd say loving other people seems to be the hardest. And when it's romantic love, it gets very confusing, and you kind of question how much of it is even selfish, because if you love somebody, it gets very complicated. So I was trying to think of things like real pure love, and like when I see a dog, I love dogs, and I just feel this flood of love for dogs, or music, when I hear a song that I just feel so much for. So I was trying to kind of get in touch with that more.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know Ayn Rand, right? Like the Fountainhead and all that.
Yes,
she talks about romantic love being, it's questionable. Even if you give a kidney to your wife or something so she doesn't die, it's actually selfish, because you don't want to live without her, right? So I guess, I don't know. You made me think.
Okay. or you know, it could come the other way, Kevin, because you can, maybe it's not about not wanting to live without her, but it's about wanting to give her life too, right? So even romantic love, like, well, definitely, and that's what I was saying earlier about intention, right? Look at the intention behind the love. Is it because of fear, or is it because of true empathy, compassion, respect, and honor, right?
Yeah, and I guess I'd have to say, I don't know how many people I represent that are listening, because I imagine most of your audience are quite evolved, you know, just to even be listening to the whole BBS thing and all that. But for me, I'm kind of, I describe myself as more sort of walking wounded. So I'd say you can still do it. It's just, it gets clouded and it's difficult, and you can give love and you can receive love, and you can at times love yourself, and you just do the best you can and try and do better the next day. But I definitely would say I'm coming from a point where it's a work in progress, and I think I can say from my perspective that even if you don't love yourself or completely love yourself, you can experience love. I mean, like you've told me before too, there's only two things, love and fear, right? So unless all I'm ever experiencing is fear, I'm experiencing love in a fragmented kind of way. So, you know, and every time you feel it, you get a bit stronger, and you move towards the light, so to speak, I guess.
Well, I'm not saying that you can't feel love if you don't have self-love, but what I'm saying, from my own experience, is that without a sense of self-love, we're not even able to really love fully.
Yeah, sure.
That's what I mean. It's not that we can't feel love. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people, myself included, who went a good deal of life not really having true self-love. But it doesn't mean we don't get love or people don't give us love. But what I'm saying is that without love of self, we can't really fully experience the beauty of love. I think we can have a taste of it, but it's kind of losing the banquet a bit.
Yeah, I'd agree.
That's kind of where I'm coming from with it. But thank you. I appreciate when you call, because then you can, you know, again, it's about helping others, you know, sharing perspective. And you do. You carry a lot of people's senses and sensibilities when you're sharing what your ideas are, right?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, and I guess that's an example of love. I feel more for the, my fellow wounded. Because, you know, a lot of times it's really, I really appreciate people just to come out and say, you know what, I'm screwed up and I'm doing the best I can, and there's lots of us out there, because then you don't feel so alone. You don't feel like, oh my God, everybody's got it so together, you know?
So, well, we're not saying that we've got it all so together, but what I mean, one thing that I am doing is just sharing whatever my experience has been and my journey, right? And one thing I learned is that look to where the love is coming from and focus on that, not where you think it should be coming from, and the importance of self-love.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know, I guess the listeners out there, I mean, it depends on who they are, but they probably know that, obviously I know you quite well over the years, and I've seen the love in action, and it's quite extraordinary, and it has inspired me to you know, go further than I've gone before. But it's kind of like, you know, telling a blind person what it's like to see. You try to get there, you know. And again, even for selfish reasons, because it does not feel good to live in fear. So living in love is a wonderful thing that, you know, I aspire to, and I'd love to help other people that are in my position get there too.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Kevin. We appreciate what you've shared, and we wish you love. Always.
Well, good love to you and to Ash. I don't know if I said hi yet. Hi, Ash.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Okay, well, I'll let you get on with your show. Hey, it's good to talk to you.
We're going to talk to Jeannie, and stay tuned, Kevin, and all our listeners. Jeannie's going to be doing her own show after ours. This is her debut show, 8 o'clock, every second Sunday after the Hologram Show, and her show is called The Creative Field. So stay tuned and have a listen to Jeannie's show. We're going to have her come and talk with us. She's going to call us in a couple minutes, and she's going to share a little bit about her show and talk to you about her ideas on love before we say goodbye. But thank you for calling, Kevin.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, so here we are at 7:48 p.m. on Sunday, October 23rd. We're sitting here with a really beautiful dog. There's three gorgeous cats in this house. And
we love them all.
We do love them all, even dear Bucky.
Yeah, the cat that would rather kill you than love you.
He only loves one person, and that's his mother, which is not me.
Everyone else he can't stand, but we still give him the love and share the love with him.
We should have brought him up earlier. That's a really good example, because maybe our love...
Hmm.
You know, whoever comes in the house could give him a little bit of love, and maybe it would make a little bit of difference instead of running from him.
I don't know. Maybe. But what I understand is that the reason why he doesn't show the love is because he was abused so badly by children as a kitten.
Swinging him by the tail and, like, so playing maybe, jump rope with
maybe,
his head. I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe dear Bucky needs a little bit of therapy.
Yeah.
You know, so he can trust again.
Yeah, exactly.
And love like love he's therapy. Never been hurt.
A bit of love therapy.
Yeah, that's what he needs. We were expecting Jeannie to call. I don't know if she's listening to us. We're waiting for you to give us a call, Jeannie. I want to share a story that Jeannie... Oh, hey, Jeannie?
Yes, hi, ladies.
Oh, awesome. You know what? I was thinking, remember, Jeannie, you shared the story with Ash and I about what you did in that situation, sending love to that woman?
Yes.
Would you mind sharing that? Because I thought that was a beautiful, beautiful example.
Well, sure. It was a number of years ago, and I was doing business with hoteliers, and so I was always at different hotels. And this particular morning, as I was waiting for a meeting with one of the hoteliers, and the bar itself had not opened yet, it was just before 11, and I walked in to wait in the bar to have that meeting, and I noticed there was a waitress there, and she was obviously having a terrible morning. The look on her face, the way she was moving, she was slamming the ashtrays down on the counter, and just her entire energy that surrounded her looked like she was just having a horrible time. So I started thinking about, because in those days, you know, I was very deeply into metaphysics and reading all sorts of things about energy and the power of love, and I thought, I wonder if I can change her energy from across the room. So I sat very quietly and I drummed up that feeling inside of my heart, that feeling of love. And you can do it in so many different ways, by thinking of a tiny baby that you know, or your very favorite friend, or something that you really, really have a feeling of love for. So I built it up and built it up and built it up, and then I opened my eyes and I literally projected with my will that vibration straight over across the room, and she was quite a ways away to her, and I held on to that vibration. And I really, I've got to tell you, that in seconds I watched a butterfly come out of a cocoon.
Wow.
I could not believe the difference in everything about her. She started to stand taller. Her movements changed. There became a smile on her face, and I knew it had really changed when she started to tap her fingers on the bar to the beat of the music. It was just unbelievable to see the difference that took place. So I truly believe that we can influence all things in life with that vibration of love. It was wonderful.
I just love that story, and I think it's a perfect example of the power of love, which is what the title of this show is the power of love when we actually step into it. And it is an energy, isn't it? It's a frequency. And to send it and to encompass it, even to, you know, just to think I am love, and to kind of do a day like that too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been listening to you as you sort of, you know, I love listening to the two of you, because you're, the way that your beautiful creative minds scope out your own experiences. I was thinking about love. And thinking about at this stage of my life, you know, it's I'm up here in great grandma land. And throughout my life, the different times when I felt like I was in love, or when I wasn't being loved enough, truly as the years have gone by, my perception of what I think love is has changed, for sure. And
yes.
I'm at a point now where I think that if we could come to that place where that saying, namaste, the God in me honors the God in you, that I think is maybe the vibration of love, because it doesn't matter what the drama is that surrounds it, it's unconditional, because we're one in that, the God in me and the God in you. That's my little...
That's beautiful. That is the essence that Van Gogh talked about, right? I mean, the God in me and the God in you, the divinity that each of us are, that we honor and respect within, you know, each other. So, Jeannie, thank you so much for sharing your ideas on love. We really want to let our listeners know how much you mean to us, how excited we are for your program, and it's starting tonight at 8 o'clock, right?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
And why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about it?
Well, thank you for this opportunity. I am so excited. I don't know whether it's nervousness or excitement. But nevertheless, I'm absolutely up for the show that we're starting for the very first time tonight, called The Creative Field. And in a nutshell, The Creative Field is about possibilities. We live in a world right now where we look around us and we think we need to do something. But then the question is, well, now what? So the creative field is here as an opportunity to share insight, information from people that are on the ground doing things that really do support life. And so the creative field is about the possibilities, and I'm going to have different guests that I invite to come on and talk to us about everything and anything that steers this ship of life in a different direction. And so I'm just so excited and so appreciative of how you and Ash have supported me and encouraged me to do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're excited, Jeannie, because we know that you love this planet and that you sincerely want to make this world a better place, not only for yourself, but for everybody. And this is why we do not hesitate in any way, shape, or form to not only promote your show, but just to celebrate it and to encourage our listeners to listen in to your show. And we're excited to share the bi-weekly Sunday spot with you. So, you know, people can make it every 2 weeks and listen to our show and your show. It'll be so awesome. And just our connection too, because we really respect you. We definitely know that your intentions are of the highest. And so this is why we are so excited for you to be doing your own show, because you will definitely make a difference, Jeannie. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting. We're looking forward to it.
Oh, thank you both so much. I feel like because we're back-to-back shows like that, that we're holding hands across that line.
Exactly.
Definitely, we're holding the energy, and it is the energy of love, of harmony, of peace, of positive change for every individual on this planet, every creature on this planet, and for Mother Earth, right?
You bet.
Well, Jeannie, we're going to let you go so you can get ready for your show. We're just going to let everybody know 3 minutes and Jeannie will be on. This is Jeannie Martin and her show, The Creative Field. Stay tuned, 8 o'clock, bi-weekly following the Hologram Show on BBS Radio. So thank you, Jeannie.
Thank you, ladies.
Talk okay.
To you soon. Have a good show.
Break a leg.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
All right, we appreciate our listeners. We appreciate those of you who are listening. We understand that not everybody feels comfortable to call in, but we hope and trust that we've given you some insight not only to ourselves, but maybe also to yourselves. And we sincerely do wish you love, and we ask that you love your planet. That's why we say kiss a tree.
Kiss a tree.
So, Ash, you going to say goodnight?
Yes, I would like to say love, everybody. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with everybody. Just stay in the love. And I know that that's kind of awkward to say, you know, just stay in the love. But it is. Just stay in the love in every way. With every sewer pipe.
With every sewer pipe. And when you don't feel like being in the love, just trust that you can get back there just with the intention of getting there. So we love you. And we look forward to seeing you in a couple more weeks. And may you have a beautiful, wonderful, loving 2 weeks. Goodbye from Cheryl.
Goodbye from Ash.